Welcome to Full Disclosure on a Wednesday morning edition of the WMAY Morning News Feed. Each week, the Better Government Association shines a light on the workings of government and increasingly taking on the very important role of investigative journalism here in the state of Illinois. Last week, the BGA making waves with a piece that unearthed crucial details about Governor J.B. Pritzker's finances, specifically an investment made by the trust that oversees his wealth, an investment in a company with a lucrative state contract. To fill us in on more of the details of this big story, David Greising, President and CEO of the Better Government Association. David, as always, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be with you.
All right. Well, take us back to the beginning of this and how the BGA came upon this. I mean, it's there to some extent in some of the paperwork that governors and all elected officials have to file their statements of economic disclosure. But it is a piece that was sort of, you know, buried in the fine details of this. And you've unearthed the important parts of this. Take us back to the start.
Yeah, our reporter David Jackson has been looking at Medicaid for some time. He spent the better part of last year on a series that we called Milking Medicaid. And just as part of his follow-up reporting, he ran across this in the governor's economic disclosure form. And it was hiding in plain sight, and not that the governor was hiding it. He signed it. It's a public document. We just happened to put two and two together. There's no implication that the governor knowingly purchased this stock, even though it is a huge state contractor, and him owning it is in violation of what he promised voters. The real question is, when he established this blind trust that purchases in stocks on his behalf, why he didn't put that in as a requirement that they not be purchasing shares in companies that are big state contractors. That was the promise he made to voters, and he neglected to do that when he set up his trust.
David, setting aside the blind trust aspect of it, would it be a violation of state law for an office holder to own stock in or to have invested in a company with a big state contract? Does that in and of itself create any ethical or legal issues for the governor?
Not legal issues that we're aware of, and this is now an issue in Congress right now where there's being discussed the idea that people in Congress and other public officials might be precluded from owning shares. That is not the case, but it is contrary to what the governor promised, which is, in my mind, just as important. When somebody's campaigning for something and they say they're going to do something, we have a right as voters to expect them to do that. And that's where the failing was, that had the governor set up the trust in such a way that this couldn't have happened, then none of us would be talking about any of this.
You know, right now, the governor says he can't do anything about it. He can't give any direction to the trust to divest these particular holdings. All we know about it is that it's in some amount above $5,000. We don't know exactly how much the trust has invested in this company. And you can understand why you wouldn't want to have that situation where the governor would be directing the trust to get rid of stock because maybe he gets wind of something that could be negative for that stock. You don't want him using that inside information to do so. But you're right. The big question is, why were these instructions not made explicit at the beginning when the trust was set up? Don't invest in companies with state contracts. And we've not gotten an answer from the Pritzker campaign or administration about why it was done in that way, correct?
Well, there's that question, which you're correct. They have not answered. But the secondary question is, a trust can be reestablished. He could shut down this one and set up a new one with new instructions to say, get me out of any state contract, you know, investment in any state contractor, and don't ever invest me in state contractors. It's not as if he is just helpless to do anything in this particular instance.
Talking with David Greising, President and CEO of the Better Government Association. It's Full Disclosure here on WMAY. David, in response to this story, the Pritzker campaign came back raising some questions about the motivation behind it and noting that the BGA has received sizable donations from one Ken Griffin, who, of course, is pouring a lot of money into the campaign of one of the governor's potential opponents this year, Richard Ervin. You have come back with a full-throated defense of the BGA and of nonprofit journalism against accusations like that. So give us a little bit more detail there.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's pretty typical when you write a hard-hitting story about somebody and they have nothing really to say to knock down the facts of your story, that they come after the reporter, they question the motives of the reporter. This is as old as journalism itself. And in this instance, what's new here is that we are part of a nonprofit. And what I wrote in my column was that nonprofit news is really the dominant source of text-based news in Illinois right now. If you look at Chicago, you've got the Chicago Sun-Times converting to nonprofit status. You've got WBEZ Radio. You've got ourselves. You've got ProPublica. You've got Block Club Chicago. The list goes on and on. And so if this is the new gambit, whenever we or anybody else publishes something hard-hitting, that they start looking at our donor list and pointing fingers and saying, oh, wait, so-and-so gives money. And just to make the point more clearly, Ken Griffin in altogether has given around $370,000 over many years to the BGA, though his last gift was in 2020. Well, guess who else has given to the BGA? Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's given $309,000. And so it's, you know, to his kind of insinuate that our coverage would be affected, first of all, belies when you look at the balance of contributions by those two. It doesn't make any sense. And secondly, you know, at some level, you have to believe that journalists are ethical and that, yes, this is the new business model. We have to raise money from foundations, wealthy individuals, and grassroots donors. But that never leaches over into any of our coverage.
Should we be expecting any sort of follow-up on this story? Is there more to delve into here? Where does this all go now?
Well, I think the next move is really the governor's. He seems to be hunkering down and saying he has no conflict of interest. And yes, his blind trust owned or owns, he doesn't know, Centene stock. And yes, it is a huge contractor, but for some reason, because Governor Bruce Rauner was the first one to contract with them, the governor implied in a press conference this week that he does, maybe somehow that's less of a conflict. I don't think it is, but it's the ball is in the governor's court as to how he responds, and of course, voters and the public to hold him accountable for his promise to not be investing in companies that do business with the state.
All right, we are back now on Full Disclosure here on the WMAY Morning News Feed. David Greising is president and CEO of the BGA. And David, this next story ties into the discussions we've been having about Governor J.B. Pritzker's finances and how much transparency we, the people, should have as it pertains to the personal finances of office holders and candidates. Senator Darren Bailey, who is one of the Republicans trying to take Governor Pritzker's job from him, had a campaign stop in Springfield yesterday and was asked if he would be releasing his tax returns, and he said no, that he doesn't believe it is the public's business. It's his personal private finances and his business finances, and it is not for the public to see here. Your thoughts on this, and does the BGA have a position on how much disclosure there should be of tax information, investments, business holdings, things like that, both for office holders and candidates?
Well, there's a growing expectation that public office holders be more transparent about their financial situation. This, of course, was a huge issue with President Donald Trump, who teased us all as voters before being elected, saying he was being audited, but as soon as that audit was done, he would release his tax returns, which, of course, he never did. It's a fair expectation on the part of voters because, as we just discussed with regard to the governor's investments, there are potential conflicts of interest that people have a right to know about. And we want to know a little bit about just how wealthy and where that wealth might come from, other candidates may be. And it tells you something about the general views about transparency that a candidate has when they refuse to do this, which is, as I mentioned, has become sort of a basic expectation of running for major office. And so we at least know where Darren Bailey stands on it. There's no law requiring him to release his tax returns, but voters can draw their own conclusions about whether they think this is important or not.
It's highly unlikely that this legislature would ever pass such a law, but do you feel like there needs to be some sort of legal requirement to have disclosures like this for people running for the highest office in the state, maybe for every office in the state, some public disclosure of this? this. So, again, we have some idea of the sources of wealth, where it's coming from, and also what techniques are being used to minimize that tax burden.
I think it would be beneficial if statewide office holders would do that. The BJA has not formally taken a position. We would need to do more study of it before really staking out a formal position and policy recommendation. But the more in general, we believe in transparency. The more transparency, the better. And it's good to know who you're voting for and what they really stand for, and tax returns are one very telling way to discover a lot of really important information.
Before we let you go, one other big story in the last 24 hours, and that's the announcement that Dr. Ngozi Ezike, the Illinois Public Health Director, will be stepping down from that position on March 14th. Outside of the governor, she may very well have been the most visible and pivotal public figure in Illinois over these last 2 years of the pandemic, and she's going to be leaving almost 2 years to the day that the governor imposed a stay-at-home order, closed down schools, took a lot of, very significant steps in the early days of the pandemic here. Your reaction to this, because again, she has been a main player in life in Illinois over these last 2 years.
Absolutely. She appeared alongside the governor at 161 press conferences over the last couple of years. She was, like many people in state government, just a low profile, competent public official before COVID hit, and then COVID hit and changed her life and changed all of our lives. And the work that she did and the calm that she showed in managing this extraordinarily difficult situation is really exemplary. This is what we want in our public officials. Her empathy for victims, the fact that she's bilingual and could speak Spanish at the press conferences, and even her handling of the LaSalle Veterans Home, which is being charged as, one kind of dent in her armor. Well, she didn't have direct responsibility for the 36 deaths there. That was really in the Veterans Affairs Administration. And, overall, her record, it was really, really strong. And I think people in the state do owe her a debt of gratitude for the work that she did.
Of course, in our divided political landscape, not everybody sees it that way. But that has been the general consensus over her time here that turned out, I'm sure, far differently than she envisioned when she took the job at the start of the Pritzker administration. David, we're out of time for this morning. Before we let you go, tell people how to reach you and the Better Government Association the rest of the week, please.
I'm at dgreising at bettergov.org. That's dgreising at bettergov.org. And our website is bettergov.org.
And we'll talk to you next Wednesday morning here on Full Disclosure.
Bye-bye.